As you know, this is Mother's Day, and so my message is primarily for mothers. However, perhaps fathers and children and others can benefit from it. I've entitled the message, Influencing Our Children. And the scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We're primarily going to look at the grandmother, Lois, of Timothy, and his mother, Eunice, along with some other people in Scripture. Let's begin. Chapter 1, verse 1 of 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word. Here is a probing question for mothers here today. Mothers, are you encouragers to your children? Life is tough out there, and children, especially in this day and time, have all kinds of temptations and ways that they can get sidetracked. They need encouragement. Mothers, are you encouragers for your children? Studies have shown repeatedly that mothers are the most influential people on their children, more so than fathers, more so than brothers and sisters, more so than even peers. Mothers have the dominant influence on their children. Therefore, it behooves mothers especially to rear their children in the right way. I know that there are many single parents in our society today, fathers and mothers. That has to be one of the most difficult and demanding responsibilities that there is. My heart goes out to single parents. Many of these people are working full-time at jobs, plus they are taking care of one or more children at home, and they're involved in school activities in many other areas of life. And yet, from my observance, most of these are doing a magnificent job in trying to juggle all of these various commitments that they have. My heart goes out to single parents. Today, here is another question. How can mothers influence their children in the right way? And that's what we're primarily going to look at today. I'm going to mention four areas where mothers can influence their children in the right way. Here is the first one. Pray for them. Pray for your children. When they're young, obviously pray for them. And as they grow older, hopefully, they will begin to learn how to pray themselves. And they will be prayer warriors and be able to connect with God at any time during the day or night. God is always available 24/7. He's never on vacation. He's never out of the office. He is always available to us. How blessed it is when children can hear their mothers pray and they can grow up to being praying people themselves. Now, the two people we're talking about today primarily are Lois, the grandmother of Timothy, and Eunice, his mother. What do we know about these people? Not too much. Lois is mentioned here only in Scripture. And this is the only place in the entire Bible where the word grandmother is used. Now, there are obviously other grandmothers in Scripture, but Lois is the only one that actually is designated as a grandmother in Scripture. We don't know anything about her husband. The assumption is that he was either a non-believer or he was deceased at this particular point because he's not mentioned. So most New Testament scholars believe that she was a widow. She was a single mother at this point because she was the mother of Eunice. So that was Lois, the grandmother of Timothy. Well, what about Eunice, the mother of Timothy? We don't know too much about her. We know from the book of Acts that she married a man who was a Greek. We know also from that book that she was Jewish and became a Christian, a follower of Christ. But apparently, her husband had already died by the time Paul wrote this second letter to Timothy, because he's not mentioned either. So she must have been a widow also and a single mom. So we have Lois, a single mom, apparently, and Eunice, a single mom also, a grandmother and a mother to Timothy. And indeed, we see that they obviously were praying people. They were committed Christians. They were godly people. And we can certainly assume that they were praying for young Timothy. Not only that, but we see that Paul was praying for Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 3, here's what we read. Paul writes Timothy and says, "Day and night I constantly remember you in my prayers." Now think about the impact of that. Here's the great apostle Paul who is praying day and night for young Timothy. And here are Lois and Eunice who are also praying for him. Three major people, Paul, Lois, and Eunice, all praying for Timothy that he would grow up in the right way, that he would live the right kind of life, that he would be a godly person. I would love to have those people praying for me as I was growing up, to have the Apostle Paul praying for me. Can you imagine how important that would be? Indeed, we see that they were praying for him. What a great way that Timothy started off his life. Now, Rhonda and I have two children. One of them is here today, Chad. Rhonda and Chad are both here. Our oldest is a daughter, Amber. She is a pharmacist. She lives in Charlottesville. And our son Chad is here, as I just mentioned. And we love both of them very deeply. Now, if Chad, our second, were a girl instead of a boy, we had already decided what female name to pick out. And that was the name Monica. Now, who was Monica? Monica was the mother of a man named Augustine, who lived about 400 years after the birth of Jesus. Now, Augustine later became Saint Augustine, one of the greatest thinkers in all of Christianity. But he didn't start out that way. Initially, he was a very rebellious young man. He was trying all kinds of different philosophies in order to connect with God, and none of those worked. He also was immoral. He had a child out of wedlock. And during this time, his mother, Monica, constantly prayed for him. She was a godly, Christian, praying woman. Monica wanted more than anything else for her son, Augustine, to be saved. She wanted him to know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. And even though initially he did not turn in that direction, she kept on praying day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year. "Lord, please let my son Augustine turn to you." Augustine was in his 30s and he was in a garden one day and he was thinking about all these things, about God and who he was and his lifestyle and all of that. And he heard what seemed like a child say, "Take up and read, take up and read." So he had a Bible close by. He picked it up, and it fell immediately to the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. And here are the words that the eyes of Augustine fell on. Paul is writing here, "Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Right then and there, after reading these words in a garden, Augustine had a dramatic conversion experience. He followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he began to write and study and read and think, and has influenced countless people since that time. His conversion experience was not unlike that of Saul, who was on the road to Damascus. You recall in Acts chapter 9 that he was going there to get Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem in order to persecute them. And there on the Damascus road, Saul had a dramatic conversion experience and met the resurrected Jesus Christ, and everything in his life changed. He ended up being the greatest evangelist of the early church. He started different churches. He nurtured them. He went back to check on the different churches. He had three missionary journeys. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. And on it goes of how Jesus Christ changed his life. That also happened to Augustine. And he became, as I mentioned, St. Augustine later on. I don't agree with everything that Augustine wrote and said, but he is generally considered one of the greatest thinkers in all of Christianity. Let me recommend his confessions to you. It's referred to and called the Confessions of St. Augustine. It is a powerful devotional book. He tells about his life before he became a believer. He tells about this conversion experience in the garden that I just mentioned. He talks about his praying mother, Monica. He talks about his life after conversion. I highly recommend it. It will really touch your heart and soul, the Confessions of St. Augustine. So, what can mothers do in order to bring their children up in the right way? The first thing is pray for them. But let's look at a second thing. Teach scriptures to them. Teach your children the Bible. Now that's exactly what Lois and Eunice did. We turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And here's what Paul says to young Timothy. "But as for you," talking to Timothy, "continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." Who is he referring to? He's talking about Lois and Eunice. "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." From infancy, Lois and Eunice taught the Scriptures to young Timothy. From infancy. And so now that he's a young man, an adult, he has learned them and been nurtured by them and has grown up with them all of his life. And Paul says, you now know the Scriptures because your grandmother and your mother took the time to teach them to you from the time you were a baby. Good for you, Timothy. You're the person you are now because of that. Now, the foundation for children spiritually and emotionally is in the home. Now, the church can help. The local church can supplement that. But the local church cannot take the place of nurture in the home. And that's true regarding Parkwood Baptist Church or Lake Ridge Baptist Church, where I served as pastor, or First Baptist Woodbridge or any other congregation. Why? Because the local church only has your children a few hours a week. In Sunday school, worship, vacation Bible school, seminars, retreats, and so forth. Only a few hours a week does the local church have your children. You have them the rest of the time. And therefore, it is essential that parents take their responsibilities seriously and bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the foundation of a child's spiritual growth. The church will supplement that and help and complement that, but a local church cannot take the responsibility of the parents in the home. And so, teach scriptures to your children in the home. What's the third thing that mothers can do to influence their children in the right way? And that is to set the right examples for them. Children learn by observation as well as what parents say. Set the right examples for them. Now we see that both Lois and Eunice did that with Timothy. Here again, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Here's what Paul writes to Timothy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and listen to this, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Paul is saying that Timothy is a man of faith. Where did he get that? He got it from Lois, the grandmother, and Eunice, his mother. He grew up in a home and in an environment where faith was dominant. That's what he was exposed to day in and day out. And he grew up like that. And so Paul now writes him in this second letter, and he says, Timothy, you are a man of faith because you got it from Lois and you got it from your mother, Eunice. Set the right examples for your children. They need them so desperately. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, in chapter number 6, verse 10 and 11, here's what he said. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Notice Paul did not say money is the root of all kinds of evil. He said the love of money. It's okay to have all the money you can get as long as the money doesn't become a god for you. It's okay to have money. Don't let it dominate your life. It's the love of money that ends up turning people in the wrong direction. You all recall a few years ago the scandal with Bernard Madoff, where he swindled people out of their money, millions of dollars. Now, when the news broke about this, my wife Rhonda and I were on vacation in West Palm Beach. And the newspaper and the radio and television said that people in Palm Beach, which is the exclusive area down there, had lost millions of dollars through this scheme. And some of them had lost their entire savings. Well, as you know, Mr. Madoff now is in prison in North Carolina for over 100 years. And when he was in court, while all this was going on, he said, I knew this day would come one time. I knew it would happen. You see, it was the love of money that not only ruined his life, but the life of his family and the life of others as well. So Paul continues in 1 Timothy 6:11, but you, man of God, talking about Timothy, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Paul is saying, pursue those things, and you will become the kind of man who will honor the Lord. Doctors Minerth and Meyer are two Christian psychiatrists who live in Dallas, Texas. They have written books and articles, they've been on the radio. They have taught and written extensively about the Christian home and the dynamics of a Christian life. Here's one of the things they said. The majority of a child's personality is already formed by age 6. age 6. So they are absorbing their environment from mom and dad and grandparents and school teachers and others by age 6. Now, if a child is brought up in a home that's filled with love and is Christ-centered, that lays a strong foundation for that child to grow up to be the person God wants that individual to be, like Timothy. But if a child is brought up in a home where there's fussing and fighting and non-forgiveness, if a child is brought up in a home where Christ is not mentioned, Sunday school and church are not important, the Bible is not read, prayers are not given, then that child already has a shaky foundation. Now, that child can reverse that and end up being a fine Christian adult. I've seen situations where that happens, but it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of time. It's much better if a child can grow up in a home where there is a God-centered family and they can learn from that. Set the right examples for your children. And the fourth thing that mothers can do to influence their children in the right way is to let them go at the right time. Now, sometimes parents hold on too long to their children, and sometimes children hold on too long to their parents. And either way, it can create a problem. We need to nurture them in the right way, bring them up in Christ-like, honoring ways and lifestyles, but there's a time when we need to let them go and let them live their lives as adults, and hopefully live their lives in a way to honor the Lord. Now, Lois and Eunice did this with Timothy. They nurtured him in the right way, but when the right time came, they let him go. We see this in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. He, Paul, came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. We've already talked about that. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, talking about Timothy. Now listen, Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. Now, that was referring to the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. So what's happening here? When Lois and Eunice let Timothy go, he ended up joining the Apostle Paul on Paul's second missionary journey. He ended up being a great influence. Can you imagine how thrilling that was for Timothy to preach and teach and help start churches alongside the Apostle Paul? It all happened because at the right time, Lois and Eunice let him go. If they had held on to him too tightly, he would not have been available for Paul to use him. So they knew when to let him go. Several months ago, I saw a television special, I believe it was on the Nature Channel, on white-tailed eagles on the island of Mull, M-U-L-L, on the west coast of Scotland. Now, the television camera was able to focus in on a nest of a mother eagle and her eaglets. And the mother eagle would fly down and get a mouse or a rabbit or something, bring it back to the nest. And the television man was able to use telephoto lens and zero in on what was going on without disturbing the nest. And so the mother eagle would feed her eaglets this food. Well, over a period of weeks and months, the eaglets began to grow and get stronger and bigger. And then the camera showed one of the eaglets, who was now pretty strong, began to flap his wings, getting ready to leave the nest. They just jumped up and down, but they weren't going anywhere. They're just going up and down on the nest. And then the camera caught this eagle leaving the nest for the first time as it soared through the sky. And even on television, it was heartwarming to see, because the time was right for that eagle to leave the nest and to fly. And it would have been wrong for the mother eagle to keep that young eagle any longer. But on the other hand, when the last child leaves home, there is a change. Chuck Swindoll is a wonderful Christian writer, and he has written about this. And let me share with you what he wrote about how the house is when the last child leaves. Someday, when the kids are grown, things are going to be a lot different. The garage won't be full of bikes, electric train tracks on plywood, and a rabbit cage. And I'll be able to park both cars in just the right spot. Someday, when the kids are grown, the kitchen will be incredibly neat. The sink will be free from sticky dishes. The garbage disposal won't get choked on rubber bands and paper cups. Someday, when the kids are grown, I won't have to answer, "Daddy, is it a sin that you're driving 47 in a 30 miles per hour zone?" Or promise to kiss a hamster goodnight, or wait up forever until they get home from dates. Yes, someday when the kids are grown, things will be different. One by one, they'll leave our nest, and the place will begin to resemble order, maybe even a touch of elegance. The clink of china and crystal will be heard on occasions. The crackling of the fireplace will echo through the hallway. The house will be quiet and calm and always clean and empty. And we'll spend our time not looking forward to someday, but looking back to yesterday and thinking, maybe we can babysit the grandkids and get some life back into this place for a change. Mothers make many sacrifices for their children. God bless our mothers. But there's somebody else who made even a greater sacrifice, and that's Jesus Christ, who 2,000 years ago died on the cross for us. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. Here was a man who was sinless. Here was a man who went to the cross and endured the pain and agony of that and gave his life physically so that you and I could have life spiritually. He died for us. And I'm wondering this morning, for mothers or fathers or teenagers, young adults, children, if you've never made that most important decision, it's the greatest decision you can ever make in life, and that is to trust Christ as your personal Savior. Now, you might ask, how do I do that? Well, you're just honest. I mean, God knows it anyway. You just say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent and I turn from those sins. I lay them on the cross of Jesus. I ask Jesus, come into my life right now as my personal Lord and Savior, and forgive me of all of my sins, and I trust you is the only way to salvation, and make me the kind of person you want me to be." And spiritually, Jesus comes into our heart, and he changes us, and we're different from then on, and we belong to him forever and ever. We have the power of the Holy Spirit who comes into our hearts right at that moment to give us power to live the Christian life, and we know that when we die, we'll go to heaven and be with Jesus forever and ever. That's how you become a follower of Jesus. Just like Paul did. Just like Timothy, Lois, and Eunice. Just like Augustine did. Doesn't matter who you are. That's the only way to come. But I'm also wondering this morning if there may be some parents here who feel like you've made some real mistakes in parenting. We all have. And you really would like a fresh start. You would like to have those sins and mistakes forgiven so you can start over again and build a stronger relationship with your child or your children than you've ever had before. Even if your children are grown and they're out of the house, you can make a phone call, you could write a letter, you can have a face-to-face visit, because God wants parents and children to be connected and love each other and forgive each other and to be bonded to each other. That's what God wants for every family. And you might say, well, is there any hope for me? I've really made some mistakes. I assure you there is. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter number 43, here's what we read. Forget the former things, verse 18. Do not dwell on the past. God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? God says we need to be honest and confess our sins and mistakes, confess them to Him and to someone else, maybe children or parents if we've fallen there. But once we've confessed it, we need to forgive ourselves. We need to let God forgive us and receive it and forgive others. And then we need to put the past behind us and we need to move ahead. God is a God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. Aren't you glad that He's that way? God will help us if we'll simply turn to Him and forgive us, that we can be the kind of mothers and fathers that God wants us to be. I'd like us to go to the Lord in prayer right now. I'm going to pray for all of us, okay, as we try to be the parents who honor the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, as we come to You right now, we realize what a challenge it is to be parents in this day and time. And we realize, Lord, that our children are faced with so many temptations and distractions. And we also realize, Lord, that we want to be the kind of parent who honors You, but we've all stumbled and fallen and we've made mistakes. So we ask right now that You forgive us of all of that. And right now in the time of quietness and meditation, Lord, I'm just wondering if there may be some parent here who needs to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, just by that simple prayer, that they will do so. Or maybe there's a parent here who really is going to make a change today. Reach out to that child that's been estranged, or the relationship is not as good as it should be. Or a child or a teenager or a young adult reaching out to a parent, saying, I've not been the kind of child I needed to be. And I want forgiveness and restoration there. There may be others here who have other decisions to make. Maybe between husband and wife. Maybe between other family members. God forgives. He puts the past behind us. And He helps us to move ahead to be the people who honor Him. And Lord, we lift these up to You right now, these prayers. We know You hear them. In Jesus' name,